The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parshas Kerach. Vayikach Kerach ben Yitzhar ben Koz ben Levi v'dosen v'aviron ben Eilov Eliyov ve'ein ben Peles ben Reuven. And Kerach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Koz, the son of Levi. He took, together with Dosan and Aviram, the children of Eliyov, and Own ben Peles, the sons of Reuven. Vayakumu lifnei Meshe v'anoshim b'nei Yisrael. And they went and they stood up against Meshe, and the people, Chamishim v'masayim, 250 of them. Mesia Edo Kriye Maid Anshe Shem. Now these people were not just regular people. These were very, very prestigious people. First of all, Kerach himself had come from the most prestigious family in Israel. He was from the tribe of Levi, which was the most prestigious tribe. And of the tribe of Levi, Levi had four sons, and he was from the son of Kohos. And Kohos was perhaps the most prestigious family. They were the Nesei HaMishkon, the ones who carried the Mishkon. They camped close to the Mishkon. And it was from that family of Kohos that Amram came from. Amram was the father of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. So we see that Kerach was not just a regular person, but someone with very, very great yichus. And then the Torah tells us that he took 250 people, Nisiei Edo. These were the Nisim, the leaders of the congregation. And the Chazal tell us amongst the 250 people, there were Mosaim Uchamishim, Roshei Sanhedrios. They were leaders of the Sanhedrin, leaders of the courts. So these were people with great wisdom and great status. And they gathered up against Meshe and Aaron and they said to them, Rav lochem ki kol ha'edo kulim kideshim, ubeseichem Hashem, umadua tisnasu al kal Hashem. You have so much. The entire nation, they are all sanctified. They all heard on Har Sinai the Torah and the Aseres Adibros. And why, Madua Tisnasu, why have you lifted yourself up above the rest of the nation? And Meisha heard this, he weakened and he fell. Bowed to Hashem and he fell. He weakened because he saw here was trouble again. There had been so much trouble. Last week we learned about the Maraglim, the spies that went into Eretz Yisrael, and because they didn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and because they were afraid and they were Metzidiba Sa'oritz, they slandered Eretz Yisrael, so they were decreed to wander for 40 years in the desert. And there were other troubles. And now he saw this trouble of Machlekes, that was there was quarrel and revolt. What was the revolt, the quarrel about? Rashi tells us in Posuk Aleph, Maro Kerach Lachlek Imesha. Niskana al nesiusai shel Elitzofen ben Uziel, sheminu meishen nosi al bnei Kos, al pi adibur. As we mentioned, Kerach was from the family of Kohos. Kerach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kohos. And each family had a nosi, each family had a leader, a prince. And Meisha, in accordance to the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, appointed Elitzofon ben Uziel to be that Nosi. So Kerach said, Oma Kerach achi abor arbo hoyu. My father comes from a family of four, as it states. He had four brothers. Amram habachor notlu shnei bonov gdula echot. Gdula, Echod Melech v'Echod Kein Godl. Now the oldest of the sons of Kohos was Amram. So they took the greatest honors. Meshe, who was one son of Kohos, became king, And Aaron, who was the other son of Kohos, became the high priest. Miroi litles hashniya. Now when it comes to the next honor, the third honor, that was the honor of being the prince of the family of Kohos. So who should that go to? Le ani. Should it not go to me? Shani ben Yisor shu sheni lamram. It should go to Yitzor, to me, because I am the son of Yitzor, who was the second to the oldest brother of the sons of Kohos. The oldest brother of the sons of Kohos was Amram, and the second was Yitzor. So Amram's children should get first honors. These were the honors of Moshe and Aaron. And the second honors should go to me, because I was the son of Yitzor, who was the second to the oldest brother. And instead, Moshe appointed to be the prince of the family the son of the youngest brother, not the son of the second brother, or the son of the third brother, but the son of the youngest brother. And this was Elitzofon ben Uziel. Therefore, I will be chaylik. I will revolt against his authority. I won't accept it. And we will make a revolution. Ma also omad v'konas reish nun roshei sanhedrios ruben mishevet ruben shcheinov. So what did he do? He went and he gathered the people around him. So this was his reason for going up against Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, when he came to Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't tell him all of this. Instead, he said that, isn't it enough? Isn't it enough that you became the king of Israel? Moshe was the king. Why did you give to your brother Aaron the Kohen Gadola? It must come from Shevet Levi. I'm also from Shevet Levi. So he went and he revolted against the Kohen, against the priesthood. This is what the actual revolt was, but the reason was because of this jealousy, this seeking of honor, that he felt that the honor should go to him and not to his cousin. That's Kerach. Now, how did these other people get involved? It says Doson and Aviram and Bnei Eliyov and 250 other people. So that Rashi tells us, Ma also Omar the Konas Reish Nun Roshi Sanhedirais Ruben Mishevet Ruben Shchenov Vehem Elitzur Ben Shideor Vechaverov Uki Yetzibo Shenema Nesiei Dekriye Maid. He went and he gathered up 250 very prestigious people, the majority from the tribe of Ruven. Why were they from the tribe of Ruven? Why did he choose that tribe and not another tribe? So Rashi tells us, Bishvil shehoye shevet Ruven shori bechani osom teimono shochein lekohos ubono vachainim teimono. Ruven camped south of the camp of Israel. And Kerach, that camped in the inner circle where the Levim camped around the Mishkan, he was south to the Mishkan. So therefore they were the nearest. They were close by. So nishtatfu im Kerach b'machlokosei. Therefore they participated in this revolution, because Kerach was south to the Mishkan. And in the outer circle, there were two circles. One, the inner circle around the sanctuary, and then the outer circle. And in the outer circle was the tribe of Ruven. So they were the neighbors. So this is why they became involved. And from here our Chazal tell us, Oy l'rosho, oy l'shcheinei, that it is tragic misfortune for the Rosho, for the evil one, and misfortune for his neighbors. In Parshas Bamidbar, there the Chazal bring that to the front of the Mishkan, to the east, there camped Yehuda and Yisachar and Zvulun. And Yehuda and Yisachar and Zvulun were very, very great righteous people. From Yehuda came the kings, and also great shaftim, judges. And from Yisachar came Roshi Sanhedriais, great Chachomim, wise people, and Zvulun were the supporters of Torah. Where did all of this influence come from? Because in the inner circle right near them camped Moshe and Aaron. So there the Gemara tells us, the Medrash tells us, Ashrei, see, Tev l'shchenov, Tev l'tzadik v'tev l'shchenov. How fortunate it is for the righteous and for their neighbors. People have great influence on people who are nearby them. So this is how they got involved. A third point. What gave Korach the idea that he thought that he would be able to succeed and be victorious over Moshe Rabbeinu? We see Korach, as mentioned, he was not a simple person. He was a person of great yichus. And also he was a person of great wisdom. Great wisdom. And we see the type of people that he gathered together with were also of great wisdom. In other words, it was a machlekes. It was a quarrel at the top level. The Chazal tell us also that Korach had tremendous wealth. Very, very wealthy. If he had wisdom, then he must have known all that took place in Egypt and in the desert and all of the great miracles and who Moshe was and who Aaron was. So what gave him the idea that he would be matzliach, that he would succeed? So this Rashi also tells us. Rashi in Pasuk Zayin, V'Korach shepikeach hoyu, maro lishtus zeh. Korach was so wise. What led him into this foolishness? Ein avito oso. His eyes deceived him. Rosh al sheles gedelo yeitzo mimenu. He had seen, and this he must have seen through a prophecy, through Ruach HaKodesh, because there was no other way that he could have possibly seen this. He saw through some type of prophecy. Shalshelas gedele yetzim imenu, that a great line of descendants will come out from him. Shmuel sheshochu kenegem meishivar. One of the great descendants would be Shmuel, the prophet Shmuel, Samuel, who in some ways was equal to Moshe and Aaron. As the Chazal tell us. Very, very great. Omar, Bishvilei ani nimolit. Bechov dalet mishmores eimdis livnei vonov. Kula misnabnim ruach hakedosh. And he saw that there were going to be 24 groups of grandchildren of descendants from him that would all prophesy. They would all come to the level of prophecy. So he said, is it possible that I will have such great descendants and I will not be victorious? So this was a sign to him that he would succeed and he would be victorious. The mistake that he made is that he didn't realize that his children would do tshuva. There were some saved and they would do tshuva. They would repent. So this was his error. But from here we learn something very important. That a person should not rely on osus. He shouldn't rely on signs. He must go with his seichel. Many times a person has a tendency to rely on various phenomena or signs that are given to him. And here you see Korach even had a Ruach HaKodesh, he even had a prophecy where he saw all of these great descendants coming from him. And he relied on this. And this is not right. A person must go with the mitzvah of Torah. He must go in accordance to the wisdom of the Torah. And he has to define for himself what is right and what is wrong. And how does he do this? This he does by studying the Torah and by following the mitzvahs. And even if all the signs in the world will tell him to the contrary, and even if there'll be miracles, even open miracles, He is not allowed to go away to the right or to the left from the Das HaTorah. And here we have a classic example. He foresaw that great people would come from him. How could it be? He knew that if he's going to stand up against Moshe Rabbeinu, so one of them will be destroyed. And how could it be that he would be destroyed if such great people would come from him? And this itself would be the schus. So he relied on this sign. And this we're not allowed to do. Even open miracles. If it's not in accordance to the mitzvahs of the Torah, a person has to follow the Torah. And this is a parsha that we have in the Torah of Novi Sheker. It states that if a prophet stands up and he prophesies against the Torah, against the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, even if he will demonstrate to you miracles, he will do all type of wonders. We are commanded not to follow him. But we must follow the Torah. And not only that, but that prophet must be put to death. Because he's an Ovi Sheker, he's a false prophet. Because no prophet can prophesy against the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. So we don't believe, and we don't get carried away with wonder workers. All the time you see, throughout the generations, every once in a while, a wonder worker comes. And you'll read articles about this wonder cure, or someone who can perform miracles, or someone who has tremendous prophecies and he has all of the answers. And we are not allowed to get carried away with these things. The Rambam writes, you shouldn't get carried away because they're all false. He says it's hevel, it's rubbish, don't believe it. See, this is what the Rambam writes on it, when it comes to the wonder makers. But the Torah goes even further. That even if it is true, and someone can perform miracles and wonders, so what? The mitzvahs are Torah, the commands we were given to follow the mitzvahs of Moshe Rabbeinu, not to follow the wonders and the miracles of another person. And that's why the command is that if a Novi, a prophet comes, and he prophesies against the Torah. If he prophesies with the Torah, that's something else. But prophesies against the Torah and tells you to do differently than the Torah commanded. And he proves it with all types of wonders. This is a Novi Sheker. And the fact is, one of the greatest religions of the world today was based on this premise. That a prophet came. There were several of the great religions of the world today are based on this premise. That people came who claimed they were prophets, and they prophesied against Teres Mesha, and they brought all kind of wonders for it. And the masses followed. Much of the masses of the world followed, because the masses have the tendency, they feel that whenever there's something that looks wondrous, it's something very important. And you must worship it. But we don't believe in this. The Chazal tell us that the greatest wonders of the world are the wonders which HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrates every day. Not the deviation from the norm. Not the deviation. The Maral writes in a place where Moshe Rabbeinu, the sages tell us, was on a higher level than all of the other prophets. That all of the other prophets, when they prophesied, they could not say, "This is what Hashem said." They could only approximate. Kayamar Hashem. But when Moshe prophesied, he said, "Zeh Hadover." This is what Hashem said. And this showed his prophecy was greater. So they asked the question that when Moshe prophesied, b'chatzeis ha'laylo, kei amar Hashem, that at midnight, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come and smite all of the firstborn in Egypt. There he did not say Zeh HaDover, he said Ko Hamar Hashem. It was not the explicit prophecy. So the Maral explains, the greatest wonders of the world are the wonders which take place all of the time and in a permanent fashion. A deviation from the norm is not a great wonder. The norm is a greater wonder. What we see every day, the fact that the sun rises and the sun sets, or the rains come in the season, or the winter comes in its season, and the summer comes in its season, and the plants grow. These wonders, which are the norms of the world, and they're kavua, they are constant, these are far greater than a deviation. These are called the Maisa Bereishis. The norms, which come constantly, these are the Maisa Bereishis, these are the works of creation. What we would call a wonder, a phenomenon, this is a Yitzia min HaMaisa Bereishis. This is a deviation from the works of creation. When the sea split, that was a deviation from the works of creation. When the firstborn were killed, this was a deviation from the works of creation. These are not as great wonders as the works of creation themselves. And this is what we would classify as a miracle. The Gemara tells us, that he who said that oil should have the nature where it can become fire, it can become fuel for fire, he could also have said that chametz, vinegar also, could become fuel for fire. What does the Gemara want to teach us with this? If someone would come and take vinegar and he would make it burn, everybody would say he's a wonder maker. It's a miracle. But from the fact that we take oil and make it burn, that is not a wonder. That's as great a wonder, if not greater. We must teach ourselves to see the wonders in the Maisa Bereishis, in the creation of the world. Not when, for some reason, all of a sudden, there's a deviation in the creation of the world. The same miracle to make vinegar into a fuel for fire is to make oil into fuel for fire. Now the Torah, these are the mitzvahs which are kavua v'kayme. These are the mitzvahs which always are in force from the creation onward. And this is what Moshe prophesied. Moshe prophesied these mitzvahs. This was a greater prophecy, a prophecy at a greater level than to speak of the deviations of the world. That's why when all of the other prophets prophesied, they did not give us a mitzvah that would be l'netzach all of the time. They would only come and tell us what we have to do now. It was only Moshe Rabbeinu that prophesied mitzvahs that should last forever. Therefore, Moshe's prophecy was at a greater level than the other prophets. And when he prophesied, he said, Zeh HaDover, this is what the Almighty commanded. While the others said, Ko Amar Hashem, only approximated. When it came to prophesizing the smiting of the firstborn, that wasn't a prophecy that would last forever. That was a prophecy just for that moment. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu also prophesied, Ko Amar Hashem. He approximated that this is what Hashem said, at midnight, he will come to smite the firstborn. So there's a very important principle here, that we should not get carried away with what people call wonders, which are actually merely a deviation to the acts of creation. The greatest wonders are in the acts of creation. And the Torah is the mitzvah, the guidebook of the acts of creation. Therefore, just because someone comes and he starts to do different types of wonders or phenomenon, this is nothing that we should get carried away with. But Korach made this mistake. He saw through a prophecy that great generations would come from him, and he did not go with the Das HaTorah, with the knowledge of the Torah. Had he followed the knowledge of the Torah, regardless of what he saw in his prophecy, he would have known that it's forbidden to stand up against Moshe Rabbeinu. It's forbidden to quarrel with Moshe. But he didn't. So he went ahead, and tragedy came about. The story we're all familiar with. Moshe told Korach and his men what to do. And he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will create a new Bria, some type of new creation, to destroy the guilty ones. Vatiftach ha'aretz es piha, and the earth opened its mouth. Vativla esom es botehem, and swallowed them and their houses. Veis kol odom asher l'Korach, veis kol rechush, and everything that belonged to Korach and all of his property. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed all of those that were with him. The basis of what we have here, the Chazal tell us, is Machlekes. Later on in Parshas Pinchas, the Torah tells us about Dosen Vaviram Hasher Hitzu Al Meshev Aaron Badas Korach Ba'atzeise Al Hashem, that they stood up from the congregation of Korach to quarrel and to bring the people against Moshe Rabbeinu, and also against Hashem. We have here the basis of Machlekes. And the Mishnah Masechta Oves, in Perakei Mishnah Yud Zayin, tells us, Kol Machlekes, Shehi L'Shem Shemayim, any Machlekes, any quarrel, which is for the sake of heaven, Sefer Liskayim, it will have substance. It will sustain. There will be continuity. Productivity will come from it, because it's for the sake of heaven. This means both sides are for the sake of heaven. U'she'ena l'shem shamayim. But a machlekes, a quarrel, a strife, which is not for the sake of heaven, ein Sefer Liskayim. There will be no productivity coming from it. Ein Sefer Liskayim. It will cease. Eventually it will die out and nothing will come from it. What is an example of a quarrel which was for the sake of heaven? These were the arguments of Hillel v'Shammai. Hillel v'Shammai were the two great schools in the Talmud, that they had many, many quarrels in order to define and in order to clarify the halacha, in order to clarify the mitzvahs of Hashem. These were machlekes l'shem shemayim. U'she'ena l'shem shemayim. And what is an example of a machlekes which is not for the sake of heaven? Zu machlekes Korach v'chol adosoi. This is the quarrels of Korach and his congregation. So we see that the Mishnah, when it wants to cite a classic example of a machlekes shelei l'shem shemayim, it chooses this example. This was the machlekes of Korach va'adosoi. Now this quarrel was first of all a quarrel, and secondly, it was even more than that, from the fact, it was greater dimension from the fact that it went and split Klal Yisrael and went up against Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Gemara tells us that when someone argues against the Rav, Moshe was the Rav, when someone argues against the Rav, that's ki'ilu chelek al hashchina. It's as if he's making quarrel with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol ha'chelek al rabbi, ki'ilu chelek al hashchina. Like we see later on, as I mentioned, that it states ba'atzeisei al Hashem, that they came up against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here we have the example in the Torah of Machlekes. This is something very important for us to understand some of the principles involved, because Machlekes is something which is found very common amongst us. And in general, this is a world which the Chazal call an Elam HaMachlekes. It's a world of quarrel. It's not a peaceful world. The fact is, I don't know if there's ever been a time in the world when there hasn't been war going on someplace in the world, in the entire history of the world. And the Chazal tell us that on the very day that Adam was created, Cain horag es Hevel. Cain killed Hevel. So we see that it's an olam which is mesugal for machlekes. It's a world which is prone for strife. And the Chazal tell us that this is something that the Odom is nimshach acher. A person is easily drawn into quarrel. We see it all the time. It doesn't take much to make quarrel, to make machlekes. To make shalom, this takes a lot. This is difficult. But to make machlekes doesn't take much. Just the wrong word at the wrong time, and you can have machlekes. And because this is so common, people think that it's not very important. And really, to the contrary, it is. We don't have time. It will take several shurim to go into all the concepts, much of the concepts, of what shalom is and what machlekes is. But the Chazal tell us that this is perhaps the greatest midah in the Torah, the greatest quality in the Torah is that of shalom. Where Shmei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name himself, his own name is shalom. And it's the bracha that's machzik kol ha-brachos. It's the bracha which encompasses all brachos. And the Chazal tell us that all HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all of the tefillahs were mesayim b'shalom. We close with the bracha of shalom. For example, the Birchas Kahanim. It ends with shalom. V'yosem lecho shalom. And the Kaddish ends with also shalom. And the tefillah, Shmein Esrei, ends with Amavorech Esama Yisrael Bashalom. And this is a klal, this is a principle. Osei Shalom Abore Esakol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made shalom and he created everything. Once he created shalom, everything was created. If there is shalom, there is everything. If there is not shalom, then there is nothing. And there is even a Chazal that tells us that so great is the power of Shalem that even when Klal Yisrael are Evdei Aveidah Zorah Cholila, even when Yisrael are idolaters, but if there's Shalem B'neihem, but if there's peace between them, then the Sotan has no power over them. See? Even when Klal Yisrael are idolaters, but if there is peace between them, then the Sotan does not have any power over them. And many, many people, they don't realize this concept of peace and machlekes. And you have people who are careful to keep many, many mitzvahs in the Torah. People who try to keep many mitzvahs. Yet, machlekes doesn't mean anything. And they don't realize how great a mitzvah is this mitzvah of shalom and not machlekes. Now let's spend a few minutes this evening going a little into this. Now, one of the important principles is right from the first word of the Seder. It states, Vayikach Kerach ben Yitzhar ben Koz ben Levi. There's actually two principles, great principles, to make us a little aware of what this quality is in these words. Vayikach Kerach ben Yitzhar ben Koz ben Levi. First of all, it states, Vayikach. Kerach took. What did he take? Doesn't say what he took. It says, Kerach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Koz, the son of Levi, took. And Dosan Vaviram, the sons of Eliov, and Ein ben Peles, and Bnei Ruven, and they went and stood before Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't say what he took. He took something, it doesn't say what he took. Then it states, Kerach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Koz, the son of Levi, and it ends there. If we're going to write his entire Yichus, his ancestry, for so many generations already, that's four generations, Yitzhar, Koz, and Levi, so why doesn't it go one generation further to Yaakov? Should say, Ben Koz, Ben Levi, Ben Yaakov. So in here are two very great principles that will shed some light on the subject. Rashi says, Vayikach Kerach, now the Targum says he's Polig. Lokach es atzmei lesad echod liyos nechlach mitecha edo le'era ala kuhuna. Vezesh etirgum unkeles vispaleg nechlach mishara edo lahaksik b'machlegis. What did Kerach take? He didn't take anyone. He took himself. Vayikach Kerach ben Yitzhar ben Koz ben Levi, and he went and stood before Moshe Rabbeinu. He took himself. What does it mean he took himself? He took himself away from the others. Vispolek, he separated himself. Machlekes is when a person takes himself away, separates himself. The fact is, the word in Targum, in Aramaic, of quarrel, means ispolek, plukta, plug. And that means to divide, to separate. And the word machlekes also comes from the word chelek, which means to segmentize. If you have something that's complete and then you divide it, that's chelek. And that's where the word machlekes comes from. So Kerach took himself away. What did he take himself away from? Nachlach mitecha eda. He took himself away from the rest of the congregation. Now here's a very important principle. We'll go one step further. Doesn't mention Yaakov Avinu here. So Rashi brings from the Chazal, V'lei hiskir ben Yaakov, Shebikesh rachmi malatzmam shalai yiskosh shmaya machlakesam. Shneamar ubekholom al techat kfeidi. When Yaakov was dying, at the end of Parshas Vayechi, and Yaakov called all of his children together to bench them. So he said to Levi, "Ubekoholam al techat kfeidi, don't bring my honor into your gatherings." What was he referring to? He said, "There'll be a time when your descendants, Kerach, will come to make machlekes. Don't mention, don't bring my honor into that gathering. I have no part in it." So therefore does not mention Yaakov's name. It states only Kerach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Koz, the son of Levi. Doesn't say the son of Yaakov. Yaakov refused to identify with this. Later on, Rashi brings, Heichon nisko shmol shel Kerach bishach sum al aduchen b'divrei hayomim ben Aviyosef ben Kerach ben Yitzhar ben Koz ben Levi ben Yisrael. Later on, much later on in the Tanakh, where his sons did tshuva, and they did the Aveda, they served in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan, there it aligns them to their complete ancestry to Yaakov Avinu. There he was willing to place his name to identify. Now why didn't Yaakov Avinu want to be identified here? It was not mere coincidence. Yaakov had a reason. Machlekes by Israel is in particular something which is contrary to Israel. Because states HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. Just like Klal Yisrael wears tefillin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also wears tefillin. In our tefillin, we speak of the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We speak of the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara asked him, what does it say in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin? It says, Miki Amcha Yisrael Gai Echad Ba'oretz. Is there a nation like Israel that is a single nation in the land? We speak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's oneness, and he speaks of our oneness. What does it mean, our oneness? Israel is one nation. They are one. They are one congregation. They are united. This is the very essence and the very synthesis of Israel is that they are united. Where does this aspect of being united come from? So the Chazal tell us this comes from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov was the source of the oneness of Klal Yisrael. And this is why we are called on his name. We're not called Beis Avraham, the house of Abraham. And we're not called Beis Yitzchok, the house of Yitzchok. We're called Beis Yaakov, the house of Yaakov. We are not called the nation of Abraham, the nation of Yitzchok. We are called Am Yisrael. And Yisrael was Yaakov's name. Now Yaakov was known as the Sholem of the Oves. Ish Tam. Tam, the Targum says Sholem. Tam and Sholem means complete. Lacking nothing, complete. An entire entity. And why was he known as that? Because Avraham, he was the first one to pave a way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he was the first cornerstone of Klal Yisrael. Yitzchok was the second one. But Yitzchok's way of serving Hashem was not the same as Abraham. They had different ways. Yaakov came, and from all of the qualities of Abraham and all of the qualities of Yitzchok, he made one. He made a new entity. He made a synthesis between the two. And we've gone into this at length before, which we do not have time right now. And there's a medrash that we've quoted many times that it states that when Yaakov came after running away from Esav, and then he went to a yeshiva, the Chazal tell us, for 14 years by Shem and Aver, and then he was going to the house of Lavan, and he crossed the site in Beis El where the Beis HaMikdash would be built, and it became dark all of a sudden, and he went to sleep. So it states, Vayikach me'avne amokim, he took from the stones of the place and put them under his head and went to sleep. In the morning, after having this dream that he saw the ladder and the angels going up and down, and he realized that this was the place of the Beis HaMikdash, so he made a monument. So it says that he took the Evan Hazois, he took the stone and made it as a monument. And the question is asked, that first it says he took Me'avne HaMokim, he took from the stones of the place. And then it says that he took the stone. At night there were many stones. In the morning there was only one stone. And the Medrash tells us that there are different opinions. One opinion is at night he took two stones to sleep with. And he said, if I can make from these two stones one stone, then I know that all of my children will be sholem. All of my children will be perfect and complete. And in the morning it was one stone. And what did this represent? Avraham had his approach to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it was not perfect. And one of the signs that it was not perfect Because even though he gave birth to a Yitzchok, but he also gave birth to a Yishmael. Yitzchok had his way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also it was not perfect. Because even though he gave birth to Yaakov, he also gave birth to an Esav. Yaakov said, if I can take all of the qualities of Abraham and all of the qualities of Yitzchok, and from all of this make one way to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I will know I will have achieved completeness and perfection. And then I know all of my children will be perfect. And in the morning there was one stone. This was a prophecy to him that he will achieve it in his lifetime, which he did. And we have, the Torah tells us, it testifies that all of his children were tzaddikim. They were all righteous. Kulam giborim, kulam noim, kulam tzaddikim. They were all beautiful, they were all strong, they were all righteous. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed his name. We have a place in the Torah where the HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes the Yud and the He in the name of every one of the 12 Shvatim. There was no deviation like there was by Avraham or by Yitzchok's children. So Yaakov achieved this perfection, and he was able to give it to his children. Now we are the 12 Shvatim, and we are Goy Echod Ba'oretz, a united nation. Yaakov Avinu is the source of our unity. What he achieved in the world, that there should be the perfection and the completion and the singleness of mind, this he gave to his sons, and this is the source of unity. And the Chazal tell us that Yaakov was the one who was the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says that the Tzurosei Shel Yaakov Avinu Chokuk B'Kisei HaKovod. The image of Yaakov is hewed out in the throne of the Almighty. So this means that our unity all comes from Yaakov Avinu. And when we unify ourselves, then we come close to Yaakov. And Yaakov, he's close to the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than any other person. So this is the essence of Klal Yisrael, even though many people do not understand this. This is the essence of Klal Yisrael. And this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears in his tefillin, Mi ki amcha Yisrael goy echod ba'aretz. Is there a nation like Yisrael that is a singular nation, a one nation? And it goes deeper. It means that the soul of Yaakov Avinu encompassed all of the souls of Klal Yisrael. It's one soul. Now we can understand very well. When there's machlekes, this is a division. This is dissension. So there's a splitting of that soul. When there's strife and machlekes, this means that a person is taking himself away from that entity. Therefore it states, Vayikach Kerach ben Yitzor ben Koz ben Levi. Kerach took himself. He took. But it doesn't say what he took. Lokach es atzmoy. He took himself to be nechlok ala edo, to go up in quarrel against Klal Yisrael. Strife in machlekes means the breaking of that bond. So he is taking himself away. And now we can very well understand why Yaakov said, I don't want to identify with this. Al techar kfeidi. Do not write my name. Do not identify my honor with your machlekes. I have nothing to do with it. Where were they identified? In the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. There it states, Ben Yisrael, Ben Yaakov. because the Mishkan represented the oneness of Klal Yisrael. The Mishkan has gathered them all together and made one from them. And this is also brought out in Parshas Truma. Parshas Truma, where the Parsha is telling us that they were getting all of the materials to build the sanctuary. And it states that Moshe commanded the people, bring tcheles, you should bring wools, and bring linens, and bring gold, and bring silver. So it states, atze arozim, atze shitim, bring cedar wood. So the sages asked, and where was their cedar wood? In the desert. They were building the sanctuary in the desert. So the answer is that Yaakov commanded his children before they left Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael, to go down to see Yosef. And they were bringing Yaakov down, so he commanded his children to take young cedar trees with them. And when he came to Egypt, he commanded his children to plant them. And before he died, he told them that when you leave Egypt, cut the cedar trees and take them to the desert with you, because there you'll be called to build a Mishkan. And the question is asked, is why were all of the other materials provided by the children? But the arozim, the cedar trees, these were provided by Yaakov Avinu. He didn't bring gold down and he didn't bring silver down. He brought the cedar trees. This is what his interest was in, not the other parts. And the Maral answers in the Gur Ayeh, because from the cedar trees were built the kroshim. The kroshim, these were the beams which created the walls of the Mishkan. And also was built the Briah HaTichon. The Briah HaTichon was a beam that went through all of the walls and had held all of the walls together. And the Medrash tells us, Briah HaTichon zu Yaakov Avinu. The Briah HaTichon was Yaakov Avinu. What does that mean? The Mishkan represented Israel. And what was Me'ached the Mishkan? What made it one? The walls made it one. And in particular, that beam that went all the way around, that is what held it together. And that's Yaakov Avinu. Klal Yisrael is the Mishkan. And what is the structure of the Mishkan, of the Yisrael that holds it together? With these walls. And the Briah HaTichon went through each beam. There is a spirit of Yaakov Avinu that goes through each neshama of every member of Israel and binds them together into one. If there's machlekes, so then someone is taking himself apart from it. He's poleg and he's dividing it. And Yaakov therefore says, this has nothing to do with me. Do not let my honor rest on this machlekes. This gives us a little deeper insight as to what the great gravity of machlekes is in Israel. It's for this reason that all machlekes, if it's shalei l'shem shemayim, we're not speaking about a machlekes which is l'shem shemayim. So if it's a machlekes which, for example, Shammai v'Hillel, where they argued in order to clarify the mitzvahs of Hashem, that's something else. Or if the mitzvahs of Hashem are being attacked and we must stand up for them, that's something else. But if it's a machlekes shalei l'shem shamayim, it must bring division. If it brings division, this is not merely a division between two people. This is a division between the unity of Klal Yisrael. This is a division between the Sheirish, the source of Yaakov Avinu that goes into Klal Yisrael. And from Yaakov Avinu came HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because he is the one who is Chokuk. He is the one who sued out on the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, all machlekes shelei l'shem shemayim must bring with it churban, must bring destruction with it. And that's why we see, when it comes to war, war must bring destruction. There are no winners in war. It's just a question of who loses more. There are no winners. And this is the tragic fact. It's only a question to limit one's losses. But it must bring destruction. Quarrel between friends, strife, brings destruction with it. Quarrel between man and wife, this brings destruction. Brings churban habayis, destroys the house, brings destruction to the children. And these are the facts of life. And especially in Israel. And we're dealing with very, very serious issues, not to be taken lightly. Now the contrary of this is shalom. Now the word shalom comes from the word shalem. The word shalem means perfect, complete. The word machlekes comes from the word chelek, which means a faction, a segment. When there is shalom, the bracha of shalom in Klal Yisrael and amongst people, then there is completion, there is fullness. When there isn't, then it starts to break. Once there's a chelek, there's a division, then it starts to break. And this is the beginning of destruction. Just like if you take a vessel and it starts to crack. Once it starts to crack, then this is the beginning of destruction. And therefore, all machlekes, if it's not l'shem shamayim, must bring destruction with it. And this we find in a very interesting medrash that the Maral brings on the Mishnah. This Mishnah that we quoted in Masechet Avos. The Medrash tells us in Parsha Dalet, in Breishis, by the creation of the world, in Parsha Dalet, in the creation of the world, it states, Breishis bore lekim eso shamayim eso oretz. The first day HaKadosh Baruch Hu created light, and he saw that the light was good. And it was the evening, in the morning of the first day. So good is mentioned in the first day. The second day it states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that let the waters be divided. There were the upper waters and the lower waters, the waters in the atmosphere and the lower waters. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, let us make like a heaven, a sky, a firmament that will divide the waters. Vayikra lekim narokia shamoim. He called this firmament heavens. Vayir vayvoki yom sheni. And there was evening and there was day the next day, the second day. Now on the second day, the word good is not mentioned. On the third day, Vayem Elokim Yikov HaMayim Mitachas Shemayim Al Mokam Echad V'Sei Roya Yebosha V'Yichem. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, let all of the water on the earth gather together in one place in order that there should be dry land and water. And so it took place. Now Kodesh Baruch Hu called the dry land earth and he called the water sea. Vayah Elokim Ki Tov, and he saw it was good. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of the vegetation and all of the fruits, and he saw it was kitayv, it was good. And it was the third day. So on the third day, Tov was mentioned twice. That's why Tuesday has a special broch in it. Because it was Yom Shehuchvulboi Ki Tov. Tov is mentioned twice. And then it continues. Now on every day, good was mentioned. But on the second day, good was not mentioned. And on the third day, good was mentioned twice. So the Medrash asks us, in Dalet Osches, Loma Enksi B'Shedi Ki Tov. Why on the second day on Monday isn't Tov good mentioned? Rabbi Yechonon Tonon B'Shem B'Yudu B'Rab Chavto Shebei Nivro Gehenem. Because on the second day on Monday, Gehenem was created. We have a source that Gehenem was created on the second day, and therefore Tov was not mentioned. Reb Chanina Amar Shebon Nivreis Machlekes. Reb Chanina said that the reason why Tov is not mentioned because on the second day Machlekes strife was created. Where was strife created on the second day? No people were created yet. No people were created until Friday. Shneema Vayim Avdil Bein Maim Lamoim. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated between the upper waters and the lower waters. So that's division. So division was created on the second day. Because on the first day, the waters were all one. The waters, the upper waters and the lower waters were all joined together. On the second day, he made a division. He created the sky to divide the two. So division was created. And therefore, it doesn't say, Tov. Omar Rav Tuvyumi imach legeshi litakune shalaylam ul yeshuvayin by kitov. If a division, which is good for the world, this division was made to perfect the world, and still it doesn't say kitov, machlekes shehi lirabuva. So a machlekes that comes to distort the world and to destroy the world, Allah has come makama. So we see how much more so there's no tov. Omar Reb Shmuel, if he shalay nigmar amalechas amayim. Shmuel says a different reason, Reb Shmuel. The reason why Tov is not said on the second day, because the work of the waters were not complete. On the second day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided between the upper waters and the lower waters, but still the lower waters had covered the entire surface of the earth. On the third day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the waters and the earth to gather up in one place in order that the earth should appear. So the works of the waters spread from the second day to the third day. So since they were not complete on the second day, therefore it's not mentioned kitov. Lefichok siv b'shlishi kitov beis pomim. Therefore on Tuesday, kitov is mentioned twice. Echod l'malachas amayim ve'echod l'malach tishul yom. One for the finishing of the water, and a second time for the works that were created in the third day, which was the vegetation and the fruits. So what do we have here? Three reasons why Tov was not mentioned on the second day. One reason is because Gehenim was created. A second reason is because Machlekes was created. There was a division between the upper waters and the lower waters. And a third reason is because the Malachas Hamayim Leinigmara, the work of the waters, were not finished until the next day. And then when they were finished the next day, Tov was said twice. What does this all mean? Tov, the word Tov in the Torah means a positive, actual, productive force. This is what the word Tov means. The Gemara tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nikra Tov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's called Tov. Torah is called Tov. Ki lekach Tov nasati lochem. Moshe was called Tov. When he was born, it states they saw the Yelid Ki Tov, that he was good. And Yisrael is called Tov. Tov refers to something which is a very definite, positive, actual, Metzias, actual force. And this is why in all of the Maisi Bracious in the creation, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw something was a positive actual force, he said it's good And therefore let it remain. Because that was creativity. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to create. What does create mean? Creativity, to produce. So it must be a positive actual force. And when he saw the light was positive, and he saw the waters were positive, so he said, Ki tov, it is good, and therefore it must remain. Now the opposite to this is a force which is negative. What does it mean, a force that is negative? A force that lacks productivity, which is a void, an abyss, the opposite to creation. What existed before creation? Tohu, bavohu, the opposite of creation. Negativity. And this is the metzias of Gehenna. This is what the sages tell us what Gehenna is. If you want to know what Gehenna is, Gehenna is the opposite of creation. It is a void. It is an empty abyss of void. And therefore people who do not produce in this world, so they end up in a negative situation of total loss, of total non-existence. Positive force is that of existence. Gehenna is a situation of non-existence. So that's why Tov couldn't be mentioned on Monday. Because if Tov represents a positive, forceful existence, the creation of Gehenna was a non-existence. So therefore Tov was not mentioned. The second opinion, there was division. Division also is a negative existence, is a non-existence. Because when something is complete, that's when it's Tov. When something is perfect, then it's positive. But the minute this begins to break down, then you have destructiveness. Like you take a vessel and you start breaking it, it becomes nothing. There is destructiveness. And this is what division is, because you're taking something that was complete and you're dividing it. So from here, there cannot be Tov. So therefore the second opinion was, Tov could not be mentioned. The third opinion was, that the reason why Tov was not mentioned, because the waters were not completed. This is also for the same reason. Something which is lay nigmara, something which is not complete, is not a reality yet. A full reality, a full existence, must be complete, must be perfect. Because if it's not complete, it's lacking. Lacking is the opposite of creation of existence. So since the waters were still lacking, they were not a complete existence yet. Therefore Tov could not be mentioned. But on the second day when they were completed, Tov was mentioned twice. Once for the completion of the waters, and once for the completion of the works of the third day. So these are the three reasons why Tov were not mentioned. And they're all related one to another. Because Tov represents a creative force of existence. And this is the force of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is the force of Torah, this was the force of Moshe Rabbeinu, and this was the force of Yisrael. Anything that will detract from that, then you're already identifying with non-existence. You're already identifying with a vacuum, with the opposite of creation. And that's destruction. And that has to do with Gehenna. That has to do with Machlekes. And that has to do with something that is chosar, that is lacking. And this is why that there's the power of Tov in Klal Yisrael, and that power comes from Yaakov Avinu. That power was so great that the Chazal tell us Yaakov Avinu lay meis, that Yaakov, even though physically he died, But his spirit lives on forever in this world. He was such a creative power. And that gives Klal Yisrael their power to live on always. But if there is the unity amongst Klal Yisrael, so then there's Yaakov Avinu. He was the unifying factor. If there is disunity, if there's segmentation, if there's quarrel, if there's strife, then this is the breakdown of Yaakov that was Me'ahed, that unified, the unifying force of Klal Yisrael. And then Yaakov says, don't mention my name in your quarrels, I have nothing to do with it. Lokach es atzma, he took himself away from the rest of Klal Yisrael to divide. And from here must come destruction. And this is why we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he opened up the earth that Kerach and his people would be swallowed alive, where this is the complete opposite of existence, where they just vanished from existence into a non-existence. We must be very aware of this, that machlekes, quarrel, this brings, must bring with it destructiveness. And therefore, before a person enters into a machlekes, he must be very, very careful, very careful, whether it's really worthwhile or not. There are times we must. There are times we must, but a person must be very, very careful if it's worthwhile or not. And that's why the Mishnah tells us, "Kol machlekes shelei l'shem shamayim," if it's a machlekes not for the sake of heaven, then ein sefer lishkayim. It cannot last, it cannot continue. It must destroy itself because destruction comes with it. It is the opposite of creativity. It is the opposite of the creative force of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yaakov Avinu in this world. If it's a machlekes l'shem shamayim, that's a machlekes to bring out the power of Hashem and Yaakov Avinu in the world. That's sefer lishkayim. That will exist. Very important, these principles. And that's why the Gemara always tells us, Godel HaShalom, so great is Shalom, that even many times the Torah bent certain laws in order that Shalom should remain. And the Torah told us always, this is from David HaMelech, Bakei Shalom Verothehu. Shalom will not come by itself. By itself, Machlekes comes. Because this is a world which is a disunified world. A person wants shalom, he must be bakei shalom v'rafeo, he must pursue it. He must pursue it, search for it, seek it and pursue it. That's the only way a person can have shalom in this world. We should be zeiche to not be from the chaverim of Kerach, of the machleke shalei l'shem shamayim, but where we will see shalom al Yisrael.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085 and via post at PO Box 66226 Broadway 2020 Johannesburg, South Africa.